Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
The study of Hebrews chapter 2.
Well, that's what happened when Yeshua came to this world and died for us on a tree. He opened the door. He became the leader, the pioneer, as it says here, so he can bring many sons unto glory. In other words, he became a man. He finished the work on the tree. He suffered and he paid for the penalties of sin and sins. And then he became our captain of salvation. You know that you and I have a captain. We have a pioneer. We have a leader of our salvation. He is the one that have gone before us. I remember, I don't know if you remember the story that happened years ago, about, I think it is in 1973, if I'm correct. They kidnapped a whole plane, a France plane where there were many Israeli and Jewish people on that plane. The plane was kidnapped and had been taken by the Palestinian and had been taken all the way to Uganda. And in order for this plane to be brought back, and those Hebrews, those Jewish people that had been captured there, to be brought back to the land of Israel, somebody had to go and to bring about some special event there. It was one of the greatest missions that Israel have ever done. And I remember I was there, Irene, my wife, and I were in a bus in Jerusalem, riding from one area to another area when the news came. Nobody in the world knew that Israel sent a few planes all the way to Uganda. And when the plane landed in Uganda, very late at night, the military, the Israeli army, in a secret way, went into the airport there where all these Jewish people, about 300-400 of them, had been held there by the terrorists. And beloved, you know what happened? The Israeli military burst into this airport and killed all the terrorists there, and have taken all these Israelis who were captured there and quickly, immediately brought them into the planes. And then they took them off and they brought them back to Israel. But do you know what happened? The leader of this group of military was the one that got shot and died in this special event. He lost his life. Somebody shot him and killed him. His name was Yonatan, Yoni. In fact, his brother is Netanyahu, Benjamin Netanyahu. But the leader have lost his life in order for others to benefit and be set free. This is just a feeble illustration of what happened when our blessed Lord Jesus came to this world. If he's going to lead a company of people to become sons and daughters of the Father, many sons unto glory, what he had to do, he had to become the captain, the leader, the pioneer of our salvation in order to bring many sons unto glory. And he paid the penalty for us on the tree. He became the captain of our salvation. Do you know that you and I could never bring salvation to ourselves? The benefit that you and I receive from the Lord Jesus becoming a man, God becoming a man in the person of Yeshua, is that he became the captain of our salvation. And it says here, that to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Now, what does that mean? Wasn't he perfect when he first entered into this world? Why does he use the word to make him perfect? He doesn't mean here that Yeshua was not perfect. He was definitely 100% sinless, without any sin. But this in connection, this word perfect, is in connection with his saviorhood. What does that mean? Is that he knows every problem that you and I have. What would happen if the Lord Jesus the Messiah would come on a Monday morning to this world, will die on a Wednesday, and will go to heaven the next, after 3 days, rising from among the dead on the first day of the week? What would happen? Would he understand what you and I are going through in our life here in this world? Would he understand the sin that the world is under? Would he understand every issue here in this world? He would never understand it the way that he understood it by living here in this world for 33 years. He lived here in this world for 33 years, and he became the captain of our salvation. He became perfect through the suffering that he experienced here every day of his life. You know the suffering that you and I may go through today. Suffering that you and I might experience in our life today. He has suffered much more than you and I ever will be able to go through. He suffered the sufferings that are unmeasured. We can never measure the sufferings of the Messiah. That's how he became our leader. He became our leader through suffering and death eventually. And then you notice verse 11 says, "For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one." The one that's sanctifying is the Messiah. The one that are being sanctified are those Hebrews and you and I and anyone and everyone who became a believer in Yeshua. We had to become of one. We have to be united in one purpose and one hope and one glory and one work of the Messiah. And because of his work, we have been united to him. He says here, "He that set us apart, and we that have been set apart are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren." The Hebrew word is achim. Again, this verse is being taken from Psalm chapter 22. "He is not ashamed to call them brethren." Now, we don't go to him and call him Brother Jesus or Brother Jesus like many we hear in the world today, but he is not ashamed to call us achim, brethren. You see, what is a brother? A brother is a person who has the same parents, the same descendants. We are descendants of the same. We become sons and daughters of the Father. We become, he can call us now brethren. We received the Messiah. We became children of God. And he is not ashamed to call them brethren. And then he's quoting three verses in verses 12 and 13. Remember, he doesn't have the Brit HaChadasha. He doesn't have the New Testament. He has the Tanakh. He has the Old Testament, the Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim. The Torah, it is the five books of Moses. The Nevi'im is the prophet. And the Ketuvim is the writing, the Psalms and so on. Here's a division of the Tanakh. Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim. The law, the prophets, and the writings. And he's quoting one verse from the Psalms, from the writing, and two verses from the prophets. And what does he say? What does he quote? Here the writer says, "I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I sing praise unto thee." Here the apostle, the writer, takes the verse that is found in Psalm 22 that is really in connection with the future of Israel and the restoration of Israel as a nation. And he's taking this and he is applying it to the body of Messiah today. And he says in this verse, "I will declare thy name unto my brethren." In other words, the Messiah is going to declare the name of God to the brethren, to the rest of the believers, to the people who become children of God. In the midst of the church, the word here, the church in the King James, but it should really be in the midst of the congregation. Betoch hakahal, the kehilah, the congregation, I will give praise unto the Lord. In other words, he is the song leader. He is the one that is leading the congregation to sing the praises unto God the Father. That's what he does. He is in our midst. That's why when we are gathering together and we are even singing together, really, the one who leads the song is not the one who's standing here in the front. The one who leads the song actually is none else but Yeshua the Messiah himself. He leads in singing. He leads the congregation in song. And that's why you ought not to be afraid or ashamed to sing to the Lord. We need to sing to the Lord because the song leader is leading us. As he says here, I will declare thy name in the midst of the congregation. Will I, notice now, he, Yeshua, singing praises unto God, leading the congregation to sing the praises unto God. And then he's quoting verse 13. He's quoting two more verses from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 8:7. Isaiah 8:17. I will put my trust in him. The second verse. I and the children which God had given unto me. You see, he take Old Testament verses or verses from the Tanakh, and he apply it now to the believers, first of all, those Hebrew believers who already have been part of the nation of Israel, but they became believers in Yeshua the Messiah, but he applying it to all the saints in this present day age, the church age. He applying it to us, I and the children which God had given unto me. He's like presenting us before the Father. He says, God, you have given me children, many children. And he's presenting us before God, I and the children which God had given unto me. So, beloved, the first thing that came out, or the result that came out of the work of the Messiah, he brought many sons unto glory. You know how many people who came to faith in Yeshua the Messiah, whether it is in Jerusalem, Israel, whether it is in Toronto, Canada, whether it is in New York, the USA, whether it is in Paris, France, wherever you are in Europe, whether it is in the Middle East, or wherever it is, many people became believers in the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. And they are the sons and daughters of the Father. We become brethren. He's not ashamed to call us brethren. And how grateful ought we to be to the Lord that he would call us. We who were dead in trespasses and sins. But after we have been saved and forgiven, after the finished work of Yeshua the Messiah, he is not ashamed to call us brethren. And we become sons and daughters of the Father. He brought many sons unto glory. One day, when we're going to leave this scene, this world, we are going to be presented to the Father as the sons, many daughters will be brought into the presence of God, into his glory. And that's precious. Something we have to always be grateful to the Lord for this. And that's what he's emphasizing to those early Hebrew believers. Discouraged though they were, dismayed though they were in danger of going back into the sacrificial system. He says to them, don't do that. Don't forget what the Messiah have done for you. Don't forget that Yeshua is the one that finished the work for you. Look to him by faith into heaven. You will see what he have done for you. He brought you, Hebrews, and many others, many sons, unto glory. That's the first thing. But then, let's go down to the next verses. In the next verses, verses 14, 15, and 16, the second result of the work of the Messiah he present before these Hebrews. What is the second result? He disarmed Satan and he freed us from the fear of death. I repeat it. He disarmed Satan and he freed us from the fear of death. Look, the next verses I'm reading, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all the lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Beautiful verses. I know it's like it seemed to be so much to grasp, but let's just chew it a little bit and let's just see what he's meaning here. He says, first of all, in verse 14, for as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. Now that we became children, now he's saying, you see, he's trying to explain why is it so important for us to understand how he completely disarmed Satan and freed us from the fear of death. He had to become a man like you and I who were partakers of flesh and blood. See, look at us, even in this room today. All of us are partakers of flesh, as it says here, and blood. Blood running through our vein. Flesh is the body that we have. We are human beings. And you and I are human beings, but a failing human being. A human being that has sin in us, but he had to become like us. See, the angels could not become like us. Angels could not save. Angels did not become human being, but he did. And so he's saying, because the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, this is the Messiah, this is Yeshua, this is God the Son, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Notice, he does not say that he became a sinner, no. All what he says here, that he took part of the human nature. He was born to the Virgin Miriam. He became the seed of the woman, Genesis 3:15. He was born, that one that is born of you, be called the Son of God. He became a man like you and I. Lived like you and I, walked in this world like you and I, had a feeling like you and I, had experienced everything that you and I are experiencing every day. You know, sometimes people tell me, Gideon, Brother Gideon, you say, how can you say that the Lord Jesus understands what I go through? What does he know about what I'm experiencing every day in my life? Well, he became a man just like you and I. Yet sin apart. He did not become a sinner, but he became a man like you and I. Spirit, soul, and body. You notice that throughout the Gospels, he was tired. He leaned, you remember, on the well there in John chapter 4. He was thirsty. He asked the woman, give me to drink. He was crying. If you remember the shortest verse in the Bible, Yeshua wept in John 11. You and I know this very well, because you and I many times find ourselves weeping for many, many, many reasons. He had experience. He was sleeping at the boat when we are tired. We are sleeping. He was tired. He slept. He became like us, sin apart. He took, as it says here in verse 14, he also himself likewise took part of the same. He became flesh and blood. He became a man. A man that experienced exactly what you and I are experiencing every day. But you know, the writer Isaiah, the Hebrew prophet, called him a man of sorrows. which have been acquainted with grief. Dear beloved brothers and sisters, you and I have many sorrows in our lives. We have many griefs in our lives. We know that. We experience that. But Yeshua is called the man of sorrow, which have been acquainted with grief. For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, it says here. But then it says why. Why did he take part of the same? That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Now you see, beloved brothers and sisters, the devil, Satan, Lucifer, the one angel that actually the one that have influenced or tempted or beguiled Eve, Chava, in the Garden of Eden. The Bible teaches us that Satan is a murderer from the beginning. John 8 teaches us this. For he was a murderer from the beginning. Well, why does the Bible call him murderer from the beginning? You know why? Because when Satan influenced and tempted Eve, he brought about a thought in the mind of men that if God really doesn't care for men, and when Eve took the fruit and brought it to Adam, and Adam disobeyed God, Adam and the whole human race have been plunged into sin. And the cause of death is sin. The wages of sin is death. And the murderer that we have there in the Gospel of John, the Lord himself saying about Satan, that he was a murderer from the beginning. And so, beloved, it says that the work of the Messiah on the tree, when he died, he went through death, he destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Now, the devil does not decide who die and who not. But the devil, what he did, with the actions that he did in the past, and the action that he still does today, he bringing about in the life of the human race that which lead a person to reject God and eventually die and being separated from God. But when the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, died, he destroyed, he annulled, you know this expression, he destroyed him that had the power of death. He rendered it inoperative. The Greek word is katageo, to render inoperative Satan's power. To render inoperative. Satan has no more power over those that believe in Yeshua the Messiah. He cannot influence us and lead us to such an extent that will lead us unto death, because we now belong to another. That's what happened here. He render, as it says here, he render in verse 14, he destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. He destroyed the power of Satan. How many people are under the influence of Satan today? You remember what we say? You are either in or out. You are either saved or you are lost. You are either a believer or an unbeliever. The unbelieving world are under the influence of Satan. In fact, we read it in 2 Corinthians 4. The God of this world had blinded the mind of them that believe not. That's what he does. He blind the mind of them that believe not. And he lead them into death, which is eventually not only the physical and of course the spiritual, but eventually to eternal death, eternal separation from God. But when Yeshua came, when Yeshua died, he completely destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil, to make it of none effect, to render it inoperative. He destroyed the power of death that Satan had in his hand. And you know, if you will ask people today, what do you fear the most? You know what they will tell you? They will tell you, and I know that none of us, or I should say the human race in general, one thing that they do feel is the fact that they do not know what's going to happen after death. They do not know what's going to happen. That's why the next verse, in verse 15, he says, to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You see, fear of death means that you become in bondage. What's going to happen after I die? What's going to happen? Where am I going to spend eternity? I know some people might say, well, don't worry, it's 6 feet under the ground and it's all over. No, beloved, it's not all over. In fact, it's not even over for the body. The body is temporarily being placed underneath the 6 feet of ground. But the soul and the spirit of man will have to be spent eternity either in the presence of the Lord or away from the Lord in eternal separation from Him. And there is something that we all have to admit, even for us as believers. You know, when we think about death, sometimes it becomes something we are shivered by the thought of death. But you see, when we become believers in the Messiah, even though sometimes in our hearts we are not quite sure because we are weak in the flesh, because we still have this human nature, but one thing on the basis of the Word of God, we have a surety. That every person that belonged to the Lord Yeshua the Messiah had been transferred from the kingdom of this world to the kingdom of the Son of His love. And we don't have to fear death, because death for the believer become a servant to usher us into the presence of the Lord.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.